All right, I want to welcome you to the Kew Gardens Festival of Cinema. We're doing a director's series of interviews. I'm your host. I'm John Fallon of the Indie Film NYC podcast, and I have my host, Craig.
I'm Craig Horsley, and we are coming to you from Ateez Organic Coffee and Tea Cafe on Metropolitan Avenue in Kew Gardens. And now we have the filmmakers for the short film, Language is Dead.
Hi, my name is Jermaine Manigault. I wrote and directed the film.
Hi, my name is John Callejas. I was the DP of the film and also the editor.
And when is the film playing?
The film plays tomorrow at tomorrow Wednesday at 3:45 p.m. at the theater.
At the Kew Garden Cinemas. Great.
Yeah.
It's a great place for screening films.
I think, yeah.
You guys really enjoy screening it there. Have you screened it in other places?
No, this is the world premiere.
Very nice, very nice. We're glad you could be part of our inaugural year of the Kew Gardens Festival.
Yeah, yeah, really excited. Yeah, being a part of Queens, this is like the only indie theater that we have. So it was very important. The moment we saw it and heard about it, we were like, got to get into that one. Hopefully we do. We were more excited about this one than any other festival we heard about.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. And so how did you hear about it?
I got an email through the Film Freeway.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Film Freeway, not Without a Box. But that whole process of going through, and they were like, oh, local in your area. And I was like, no way. That's interesting.
Yeah, we've been getting a lot of good feedback. I mean, obviously, the community of Kew Gardens and Forest Hills and this little area here has been very receptive to having a film festival here. And, you know, I don't know if you guys made it. We had a big kickoff party at the Austin.
Yeah, we were there. Uh-huh. That was great.
Yeah, so it's been a lot of fun. But tell us a little bit about why you made this film.
I made this film because, I guess, at the core, I was inspired by Richard Linklater's 2001 film, Waking Life. He had a sequence in that film where it was a woman who ranted about the idea of language, and that really resonated with me, whereas I took it kind of at face level at first, but then I was like, I kind of want to expand upon this more. You know, it was almost as like throwing a sample out there, and I was like, that's not enough. You know, and she was speaking about the idea of language not being enough as where we've evolved in our species. You know, like, it came from the simple things like water, fire, you know, and now we're talking about complex emotions as if that can actually resonate with any one person. You know, that's really what the film is at its core. It's honing in on the idea that words mean different things to different people due to their own personal experiences. You know, how do you take a word like love and fear and try to box that into something? Everyone has spent a lifetime experiencing that differently, so it's hard having conversations and complicates communication. So that's really what it is at the core.
So the movie really is kind of an interesting structure to the film. You know, it technically takes place all in the therapist's office, but there are quite a lot of visuals that are, I guess, they're supposed to be in the main character's heads. So I'm assuming that you worked really close with your DP to come up with those visuals. Can you explain some of the process on how you got involved, John?
Yeah.
And how you guys developed the style?
Absolutely. So the first thing that we talked about doing was using a Super 8 camera. And that was what really excited me, because I love shooting on multiple formats. I mean, that's how I got into filmmaking, is not necessarily even just through narrative, kind of just shooting on different formats and everything. So when we decided to do that, that was what excited me. And what I wanted to do was kind of get shots we've never seen on a Super 8 camera. We used an old Bolex, and you know, we wanted to mount it on a glide cam. We wanted to get these like moving, swaying shots for the Super 8, and that's what we used to portray what was in this character's head, you know, and what he was thinking about. And then what we used for the therapist's office, we shot on digital 2K, okay, on a Blackmagic camera.
Yeah.
And what was the production experience like? I mean, how did you pull this together, I guess?
This was, it started at assembling the team, you know, mainly John and our composer, Billy Kennedy, because there were a few sequences in there that clearly we had to kind of film the music too, you know, because of the way we were structuring it, even,
a lot of rehearsing with the music. And
yeah, we had a rehearsal with Erica Citron, our main actress. We had a whole sequence in Grand Central Terminal, and as a first project, that was interesting because I've heard that debate whether you score after or you shoot to music, and it can get complicated. But it's a nice experience. It was interesting. I'd want to do it again.
Yeah, that was interesting shooting in Grand Central too on the Super 8.
Yeah, it was.
You know, you didn't expect it to be that dark, and I kept telling you it's gonna be dark shooting on film, like, you know.
Yeah.
But we did some test footage, and we kind of figured out a way to use it to our advantage and get the look we wanted.
Yeah. And this is your first film?
Yes, it's my first film.
And you're from Queens?
Yeah.
So this must be really exciting for you to be at the Kew Gardens Film Festival.
I can't wait. Yeah. I mean, it's been a blast so far.
Yeah. You had the cover article in the Queens Gazette, you said?
That was exciting. Yeah, definitely. To see the film, it was, very interesting.
Great. And they were highlighting your film particularly?
Yeah, that was a shock, to be honest with you. Yeah, they called me up, Chris. He was really cool. We spoke about the film. We spoke about the neighborhoods. You know, I come from Richmond Hill and Flushing. That's where I was born and raised. I'm over in Kew Garden Hills now. But, we filmed a lot in Queens also. We were in Astoria. We were over in Jamaica. We shot in a church in Jamaica. We were all over the place in Queens. Mm-hmm.
So this is a real homegrown film.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. How did you fund? I think you did some crowdsourcing?
No, I didn't. I actually got my funding through private investors who worked in real estate.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was, that was another age debate of where to get your funding from. And really early on, I told John, I don't want my funding from film people because they're kind of as a new person, you don't really have claim to anything. These are more... I didn't really want to play anyone for a sucker, but it was more so like I kind of wanted someone to believe in this project and this vision, you know. We got, you know, you're new. Why are you filming on two formats? Why are you working with this Academy nominee? Like, what's going on here? And it's more so the real estate people didn't really give me any bripe. I backed it up with numbers. I backed it up with production. It was very smooth. It was on time. Everyone got paid the day they showed up. It was very smooth, thorough production. We didn't really have any problems.
So did you put together a business plan? Or
yes.
How did you kind of, I mean, without really going into your sources necessarily, but that process, how did you kind of reach out to people who are not film people? You know, maybe as a lesson.
That's just being a city kid. There's always someone with money around in the city, you know, and it's more so, it's, you know, there's real estate, there are people work in banking, there's just so many industries. Growing up in the city, you know, there's just so many industries. You look around and people advertising, and mm-hmm. I was like, these are people with money in their pockets doing nothing with it. Everyone's going to these producers, everyone's going to these production companies. It's like, where is the money not, you know? I mean, where are they not getting their money from? You know, who are these people sitting on their gold coins?
Right.
You know, do they want to get behind something like this?
Sure. I think that's a great lesson for other filmmakers. They, you know, like you said, everybody's beating on the same three doors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's really great that you guys figured out, you know, some different avenues.
That's an amazing story. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. We've got two more projects and a feature in the works under those same people, and we're still reaching out to more, you know.
That's great. And so what are your kind of production schedules on those?
I'm still writing the Language is Dead movie, which we want to move forward with, but we've got another short.
Turn this into a feature.
Oh, undoubtedly. Okay. Yes, I feel even this was more so it came from a film that I was working on, and I was like, how do I turn this into a 15-minute sample of it so that we can then push it further and pitch this, like, to say this is kind of a sample of what the film would be like. Because, you know, you look at the past few years, that's what so many filmmakers are doing. You met the Paul Thomas Anderson doing that in the 90s. Like, that's how he got a bunch of his features made, you know, mm-hmm. through the short route. It's not just about making shorts. It's like, how do we take this short, make it a film, you know?
Right, yeah. Yeah, the proof of concept model is definitely tried and true. Could probably name half a dozen movies that have done that, and you know, varying degrees of success with their features. Mm-hmm. But the point is, they got their features made.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I guess that's what's next for you then, right? You're going to turn this into a feature.
That's the plan.
What about your festival circuits? Are you in other festivals or?
Yeah, we're in. We're in the Brooklyn Chain Festival right now.
Yep.
We screen in a few days there, I believe. And in October, we'll be premiering in Jersey City. And we're still in consideration for a bunch more, so we'll see what happens there. That's always a gamble, but you get an email like the month before, and then you got to scramble to get ready. So.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad that you could be part of the Kew Gardens Festival of Cinema.
Yeah,
for sure.
Thank you for having us.
It's really fun to see filmmakers who are excited to be just, you know, in this festival in particular, but also just to be making films and finding, you know, these unique ways to get their films made and you know, experimenting and just you know, putting themselves out there. It's fun to see it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah.
To see your world premiere at the Kew Gardens Festival is going to be very exciting.
Oh yeah, it's super exciting because again, like I said, this is really the only real indie theater. You know, there's so many times where I have to see the movies that I want to see, and you got to go down in the city. Like the city has most of the places that show these obscure films and these award season films. You can't really find that in Queens. We have all Regals and AMCs, you know.
Right.
So I'm constantly here during, you know, that whole spree. So when I found out that they were doing the festival, and I told John, he was even more excited than I was. He's like, "Yeah, we gotta hopefully get into that one."
Yeah, this is the one we wanted for sure.
Great. Well, thanks again for being here, and we really enjoyed talking with you guys, and we're looking forward to more of your work in the future.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, guys.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.